join the list. Let's turn to Psalm 32 verse 2. Psalm 32 verse 2. We'll just look at an aspect of justification that is critical in all that we have been saying. Very critical. And it's a provision available for every believer. Every believer. Every person. And we'll look at that and we'll trust God to help us. And hopefully we should be rounding up justification soon. And trust, if anybody has questions, we can do a question and answer section. It's very fundamental. It says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, whose spirit there is no guile. So the word blessed, we say we can look at it as a type. We can look at Abraham, which we have looked at, but there's still much more. But we can also look at Adam. We can also look at Adam before Adam fell. So the key word we came to pick is blessed is the man. The person that does not have iniquity is blessed. And the person that is not with any sin is blessed. But what does that mean? Blessed is the man whose the Lord imputed no iniquity, whose spirit there is no guile. Of course, we said this scripture here was quoted in Romans chapter 4, verse 7. It was quoted, so the sin is covered. So blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed no iniquity. So it was in the Psalms, but it was quoted in Romans chapter 4, verse 7. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we said the blessing we can see it. The first time was even shown in the Bible was Adam. The first time that God blessed any human being was Adam. Said, and God blessed them. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them. So there's two categories here. There's the blessing of God. That's one. Then the second category is what they are supposed to express and said unto them, be fruitful. So if there was the first category or the first, if the blessing is not there, there's no way they'll be fruitful. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it. That means there were some oppositions, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the same provision that God gave Adam is the same provision he's giving you and me. It's the same provision he's giving to the church in Toronto. It's the same provision he's giving to the church in Canada. It's the same provision he's giving to his body in the world. It's the same provision. Five things: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Dominion, five things. But you can also break those five things into seven. Dominion over the fish of the sea, dominion over the fowl of the air, dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. for an example, the fowl of the air, we see it in Book of Matthew, chapter 13, said the sower went out to sow, but the fowl of the air came to steal the seed that fell on the wayside. And it told us that the fowls of the air are what? Are the devil, are demons, are Satan. So we know that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, is not just referring to ego or one of those birds that we see, or Canadian geese or something. It's not just referring to that. Talking about the man that he has placed in the garden to have dominion over the spirits that rule over the air. Another scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, the spirit that now walk in the children of disobedient. So we know it's not just talking about literal human being. It's talking about God's, the justified one. Let me be specific now. The justified one, the one that have no iniquity upon him. It's not with iniquity. The one that has no guile upon him. The one we are referring to, the one that his iniquity is forgiven, his sin is covered. The person is come to this extent of what? Of being fruitful, of being able to multiply. What multiply what? Multiply himself. That life, that nature, that character that God has blessed him with, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue it. Because there's some stubborn people around. To subdue it and to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every creeping thing. So, but the aspect we want to quickly focus on is saying, God blessed them. How did he bless Adam? How did he bless Adam? What are the provisions that he made available for Adam? What are the things that he has put in place for this Adam that we are talking about? The answer can be found in Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We'll start from verse 8. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So there was Eden and there was a garden. And the garden was in the eastward of Eden. And there he put the man whom he has formed. So by knowing the environment of Adam, we know what God is revealing. He said, and God blessed them. And we have seen for Abraham that what that blessing is. Abraham, he told us that the blessing is in, it's in sevenfold dimensions. We saw it in Genesis chapter 12. But we are not going there now. But we are looking at Adam. So God planted Adam in this garden. In this garden. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Verse 7. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, and a river went out of the garden to water, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from hence it parted and became four heads. So in verse 10, if you compare 10 with verse 8 tells us there was a garden. Verse 8 tells us there was a garden. And in that garden Eden, God planted man. Then verse 10 gave us more details. Verse 10 tells us that a river went out of Eden. Just to get our understanding. Okay, let me say something with that. There is no way you can have two trees in the same spot. Okay, verse 9 tells us that there's two trees in the same spot. So go to verse 9. The tree of life in the midst of the garden, the tree and the tree of the knowledge of good. So this is not physical trees. The tree of life and the tree of good and of evil is not physical trees. And there are other scriptures that will tell us that. It says wisdom is a tree of life. Romans chapter 8 tells us the law of sin and death, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So instead, they were all in the midst of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of God. So it's not a physical tree. Okay, let me just say that. It's not a physical tree. It's a reality a believer face every day. It's a reality we face every day. It's a situation we face every day. It's not a physical tree. The eating of a physical tree cannot cause a man to live forever. Let me just leave it there. I can use other scriptures to explain that. So you can't find two trees in the same spot in the midst of the garden. Okay, so let's leave that aside. But let's go to verse 10. Verse 10 says, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So we see a garden in Eden. And for that garden to be sustained, that garden need a flow of water. They need a flow of water. And the water was coming from the Eden to water the garden. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. Where is Adam's location? Adam's location is in the garden. It's in the garden. And for Adam to be sustained, for him to live, for him to enjoy life, for him to receive this blessing, it's a blessed is the man. For him to get this blessing, said, and God blessed him. That provision that he did for Adam, that provision that he did for Abraham, that provision is only also available to you for the justified one. It's not talking about one big man of God, one that is seeing revelation that is going to the third heavens. It's not every born again person has access to this blessing because it's in that environment. It's no longer cursed. It's no longer with sin because there's no sin in him. God sees that because the person is justified, is clothed with the white garment. So we see, as we're saying, that there's a river that flowed out of Eden to the garden. There's a provision from God because he has set up the environment. There's a provision from God that flows to the garden, to the place of nourishment, and out of the garden. So the garden is not just taking in. It's not a stagnant water. It's not a sealed entity. But out of that garden, there's water flowing out. So there's a river flowing into the Eden, and there's a series of rivers, or all the four heads. It flows out into four major parts. It flows out of the garden also. Then in verse 11, 12, 13, it starts giving us the various characteristics of the river that flowed out. It talks about Havilah. It flows into the hand, it's called the Pison. Then there's Gihon. There's the river that flows to the Assyria. There's another one that is called River Euphrates. So there's the four major provision that flows out of the garden. And if you examine those four major provision, you will see that it ties with God, what God told us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that it will be fruitful, it will multiply, it will subdue, it will replenish the earth, it will subdue the earth and have dominion. That aspect relates to this. God gives us a greater picture. And as you keep on looking at these four dimensions all over the Bible, you now see a fuller understanding of what God has made possible for the justified one, made possible for him that is saved and born again. Amen, amen, amen. So we go back to verse 10. Genesis 2, verse 10. So there's a river that flows out, into the garden. So as we have said severally before, we are in the garden. We are not outside the garden. We are in the garden. There's a river that flows towards you. There's a river that flows towards me. There's a river that flows towards his house. There's a river. Very, 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 very important. You are not isolated. The church is not isolated. There is a relationship we have with our Father, and there's a provision that he has made available for you and me. There's a provision. Ever since things may look difficult, dark, it may be even rosy, everything excellent, beautiful, there is always that river that flows to the house of God. Without that river flowing into the house of God, we cannot be fruitful. We cannot multiply. We cannot fulfill the work of consecration. The word replenish there is the word consecration. Fulfill your hand with the activity of God. You cannot. So the river that flows into the garden, that flows into, is critical, is important. Ministry cannot be effective and effectual if there is no provision from God. There's no garden condition, and there's no water flowing into the garden. If you check the word river, look at it. Again, we are students of the Bible. Look at it again. It talks about streams. So it's not just one river. It's multiple ministration from one same river. One same river, a river, but out of it, there's streams. Streams, there's ministration coming from the presence of God to do a work in you, to establish you, and to use you as an instrument to establish your home, yourself, your home, your family, the church, and humanity. So the justification, there's a purpose. The purpose of justification is not you. The purpose of justification is God. He said, for his name's sake, for his name's sake, it's because of his purpose, his grand purpose, that he has laid hold upon you. We see that in Abraham again. He said, for the Israelites, he said, all the earth is mine. Abraham, he said, your family shall be an instrument to bless the nations. You will bless all humanity. You will bless all nations. So there's a goal in justification. God is teaching you not just for yourself, not just for your home, not just for the church. All those things are critical, but for all humanity. For all humanity, for all the earth, the Lord says, is mine. So there's a river that went out of the garden to water, a river that went out of Eden,
I meant to say, that went out of Eden to water the garden. There's a watering of the garden. There's a provision from God to water you, to make you a garden full of all the pleasant delicacies of the Father, sons of Solomon. He said, a garden enclosed is my sister. God wants you to be a garden, not enclosed, but filled with all his provision, filled with all the spices, all the graces of the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 46. Yeah, it gave us a picture of wheat turbulence. There's turbulence around the earth. So it said the God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The next verse, please. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So what that means is that the mountains are nations, empires. He's saying that there's so much riot in the land that the riot swallowed up the mountains. The mountains shall be carried into the midst of the sea. The midst of the sea people are the people that are not born again, that are not saved, under the influence of Leviathan, under the influence of Satan, under the influence of the powers of darkness. And they took over the mountains. They took over the sea. Where there's the earth, there's the mountains. You are not in any of this class. You are not in the earth. You are not in the sea. You are not in the mountains, but you are in the heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. So we are not in this class. So, but that's another discussion. Verse three. And he said, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, that's the water from the sea, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof. Just pause, seller, pause and think about it. There is a river. So that's what we are saying. There's a river. What does the streams, if you like check, it said streams. In fact, if you check the original further, it said light. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, that river, if you look at the original, it means light. It means illumination. It means ministration from God himself, burning light. Although it says river here, but if you look at the original, it says light, illumination. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. So as one justifies, you are not isolated. There's a provision that comes from God. There's a passion of God for you to bless you, to prosper you, and it flows from the river. Everything that you need, everything that I need, everything that the church needs flows from this river. And what does it do? It makes glad the city of God. The city of God is the Jerusalem that is above. The city of God is the church. They even told you there, it's a tabernacle, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. So there is provision. There's a provision coming from the presence of God. There's abundance of provision. There's a river which diverse ministration of the Holy Spirit make you glad. It comes to replenish. It comes because if you check the environment, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 tells you there's chaos. There's convoluted trouble. There's chaos around. Just as we see in the Garden of Eden. Outside are the vagabonds. Outside are trouble. Outside are, there's a river. There's a provision that God has made available for the church. There's a river which streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of God. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. There's God in the midst of her. So the dwelling place, the canopy, or another word for the tabernacle, the presence of God, the dwelling place of God is in her. There's a dwelling place of God in you. There's a dwelling place of God in your life. There's a dwelling place of God in your environment. It dwells within you. It dwells outside you. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and right early. There's provision from God. No, go back to five. There's God in the midst. So there's a provision. No matter all the turbulence, no matter all the crisis, tongues, thistles, shakings here and there, God cannot leave you. He said, God cannot forsake you. He does not come and go. He abides. He said, the Holy Spirit that he has given you, abide. He said, the Lord cannot, he never leave you nor forsake you. So a person that is born again, God comes to reside. God comes to dwell. And he has a purpose in mind. There's a goal. There's a target. There's an intention. He saves you to deliver the humanity. He saves you to touch your brother, to touch your sister, to be an instrument of God in the church. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 1. We see dotted out various scriptures, but just picking up these three scriptures. And it showed me a pure river. A pure river of the water of life. We are talking about the justified one, the one that the person that is saved. He said, those that are saved are blessed. This provision is available for every believer, every person saved. Every person saved. There is something God has made available for you, made available for his church. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life. So this river that we have been describing, this river, this provision, this that comes from the throne of God. Here it says, out of the throne of God, out of the Lamb. When he says the Lamb, that means he is Jesus, not just Jesus, Jesus that died. Because he died, I have access to this provision. He showed me a pure river of water of life. And this water is not polluted. This provision is clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Is proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's coming from his presence. Hallelujah. It's coming from his presence. So we see that there's a provision available for the born-again brother, born-again sister. All that is saved, there's a provision. All the resources of heaven is available for that individual. Because God wants that individual not to be stagnant. Your Christian life must not be stagnant. Mine must not be stagnant. We are living things. We are supposed to grow and what? Procreate and replenish the earth and have dominion over all situations, all circumstances. So he gives us the blessing. He put us in an environment where we can fulfill this role. Fulfill this provision, fulfill this counsel. It makes all resources available for us. It's seven spirits. It makes it available for you, for me, so that we can stand and fulfill his purpose. He showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there's a provision coming from the Father to you. To me, there's a provision. There's a provision. There's a provision. And when you keep on looking at that river, you will see that that river brings forth trees of righteousness, trees of life. It brings forth the character and the nature that he has described. Be fruitful, multiply. So there is abundant provision made available for his church, for his house, for you. Don't think you are isolated. Small me. All those are spurious. You are mighty. When God looks at you, you are mighty. When Gideon was thinking so weak and tired, he was the least in his father's house, the least in the nations. God said, oh, mighty man of valor. Oh, mighty man of valor. Because God looks at you as the Christ. He looks at you as the finished picture. He looks at you and says, no, this is my son. This is the one I've ordained. And all the resources of heaven is available. So we must make effective use of the river. Making effective use of it is very critical. We must make effective use of the river. The river that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. This provision, this nature of God. So from what we have looked so far, how do I define this river? The river is God himself. Is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is him himself. Let's look at
Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13.
This river, this fountain of river. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, said the Lord. So the reason why we read that is to know who is speaking. The person speaking here is the Lord. Is the Lord. Verse 13. Was talking to your unfaithful house. Said, for my people. So it's the Lord speaking. Said, for my people have committed two evils. They are forsaking me. The Lord is speaking. They are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed them out systems and broken systems that can hold no water. So God is saying here clearly to us that he is the fountain of living waters. Revelation tells us that the water flows what? From the throne of God, from his very presence. And it flows what? From the Lamb. So this river that we're talking about is God himself flowing out to do a total work in Adam, to do a total work in you. In you. Remember, we have said that the purpose of God coming to Adam in the cool of the day is to lift Adam beyond the realm of the physical to the realm of the divine. That's the picture we see. He come in the cool of the day to minister. We are talking about Adam without sin. To make Adam suitable because they were vagabonds. They were demons in the land. So subdued, have dominion. So we see that God is a fountain of living waters. There is a fountain of living water that God wants you to receive, retain, and completely appropriate. There's a provision. There's a seven spirit of God flowing continually to you to establish you, to make you fruitful. Fruitful what? To bring forth gentleness, meekness, loving kindness, hope, loving joy, peace, charity. To bring forth those characters, there's a provision from God. It's a provision that is only available to those that are saved. So the fountain of living water, he said, they are forsaking me, M-E. So talking about himself, they said, me, the fountain of living water. God is the fountain of living water. All the provision that is available for bringing you to that extent of life, to deal with all the condition of the earth, say replenish the earth. So the earth was stubborn, rebellious. God said, you want to deal with the earth. And the earth first is not the earth outside. The earth is you. Adam was made earth and earthy. It was the first man was of the earth, earthy. So the first provision is you, the man, earth, to deal with those conditions. Anything that I want to lead you astray, you need the water. You need the provision from God. You have it, and it's flowing. It's flowing into the garden. Do not hinder the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Submit to him. Submit to him. Submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a river. He said, what does it mean? He make glad the city of God. He make glad. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings, what is the kingdom? He said, the kingdom of God is peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. He brings all those provisions. He brings all the provision necessary for life and life blessing. He said, I'm the fountain of living water. Zoe, living water, the water of life. In Revelation, it says in Revelation chapter 22, he said, what? Wherever this water goes, there will be no more curse. There will be no more curse. Hexes, spells, chant, divination, dying and death. There will be no more. There's a provision coming from God. He is a fountain of living waters. It's a fountain of living waters. Hallelujah. The fountain of living water. So it's important we know that. You are not isolated. Once you are justified, all that is necessary for life is given to you. Is given to you. And it keep on coming. It keep on coming. All the treasures, all that is needed for life, it keep on coming. It's important we know that. Without that, and living in the light of it, there will be trouble. There will be trouble. One cannot fulfill the things God has ordained for us, and one cannot grow. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll start from verse 1. But there's some scriptures I need, but I'll just start from 1. So he said, the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of things. So the law is a type. It's just a shadow. It gives us understanding of what God has ordained. God has ordained. It was a type. So by understanding some of the law that Genesis and Psalms, we even looked at it on Thursday when our brother was sharing with us that everything that is written in the law and the prophets, hang the two, the law and the prophets all flow from the two commandments, ten commandments summarized into two. So we see that the law is like a shadow of good things to come. Good things to come. Hallelujah. So we'll just go now to verse 9. Then said he, lo. He was talking about Jesus Christ. We'll start from 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So because Christ died, and he died just once. In the Old Testament, they were doing sacrifices, bulls and goats persistently. But Christ came, it was one sacrifice. It was once. Okay, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice. The same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, the man that's referring to is Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. The enemies within, the enemies without. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified by one offering. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross is vital. That's the only sacrifice you need to take you to the fullness of life. So we must respond. We must believe it in all our goings. It is from that sacrifice that all the treasures that we are talking about, the river, flows out. By one offering, he had perfected forever. So don't strive and say, oh, I can do it. I can do it. That's what psychology, they are telling us. You can do it. Just positive thinking. Just positive thinking. And all the knowledge of the world. No, all those are outside the garden. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. As you are in that environment of submission, sanctification, there is a perfection taking place. All his ways are just. All his work, all, not one, not two, not three, all his work are perfect. So as we submit to him in that sacrifice, there's a provision coming from his presence, the river, the streams, and what does it do? It does a work of transformation. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. So the old verse 15. So the old arrangement was the old covenant, but there's a new covenant. There's a new arrangement. If you like, you can say outside the garden is the old covenant. But in the new agreement, this is the covenant, which is 15 is telling you this. God witnessed to what happened in verse 14. He witnessed to it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So God brings you to the environment where things change. You are a new creature. Once you are born again, God gives you a new heart. God gives you a new mind. God gives you a new will. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And God brings you to an environment where you can submit to him so that there will be a writing of the Holy Spirit. I will put my laws into their hearts. A new heart. God will start writing. It's in Book of Corinthians. A writing of the nature and the character of God into you. So we must respond to the word, the provision he has made for us in the covenant. So if you're having difficulty not understanding the word of God, so you must cry out unto God. God said it's made available. There's a river. You are in that environment. There's a river. There's a provision from the Lord. The prophetic grace is available. The grace is to live holy, to live right, is available. It's available for you in the garden. But you must respond. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their mental faculties, in their minds. And I will write them. So there's a writing. The writing cannot be made available if you are not in responding. If I'm not responding, if the church is not responding. So we are. There's a provision available for us. They that are blessed have that provision. That's why when you look at Abraham, you see every time there was provision, he said, an angel appeared unto him. He said, the Lord appeared unto him. There were several appearances, various revelation, several visitations of God. And the Lord said unto Abraham, and the Lord said unto you, and the Lord said unto me, there's a provision, there's a continuous provision. Because of Christ's death, God will respond. Because of Christ's death, God will lay hold upon you. You are in that environment. Said, there's a river that make glad the city of God. He has placed you. He said, God placed man in that garden. He placed man in that garden. And say what? You are blessed. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. So we see that, and I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. 34. And I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
They are justified. The justified experience. Now, where remission of this is, that's when the sins are forgiven, there's no more offering for sin, because the sin is taken away. That means there will be no more suffering or offering for sin. Having therefore brethren, verse 19, boldness. So we are in that environment. It's not that you are walking from the outer court. You are in that environment. You are there because God doesn't come and go. He said, I will never leave them, nor forsake them. You are in that environment. We have boldness to enter into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. Remember, the river flows from the throne of the Lamb. Unto having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he had what? Consecrated for us. God has made it available. It's a consecrated path. As we have said, it's a predestinated path. All that is necessary for you to come to the fullness of life is made available. So respond to it. Respond to it. Respond to it. Present your hearts to God. Let him write his laws into your heart. Let him write his laws into your mind. Tell, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's a new way. It's a living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Because he died for you, because he died for me, the path has been made available. Before now, we're out of the covenant of God. Now we are brought in. He said it's a new way. It's a living, not death way. It's a living way, a Zoe way, a place of life, a place of living, not a place of dying, a place of living. May the Lord bless this word into our heart. Let's go to Psalm. Psalm 113. Round up. So we'll take some time to pray. Because I said we need to pray. Just pray, definite prayer. Say, God, open my eyes. Let me experience this river continually. You are driving, you are walking, you are eating, there's a river flowing into the garden. You are not dark concerning the matters of God. Every situation, every second, you have light, you have illumination. If you have time, study Psalm 113, Psalm 114, Psalm 115, Psalm 116, Psalm 117, Psalm 118. These psalms are psalms that is celebrated during the time of Passover. So it's a time of justification. When you look at these psalms, you see various dimensions, various aspects of all this justified experience. You see it alive. So when the Israelites, they were celebrating Passover, they sing Psalm 111. 3 to 118. I think they call it Hallel, the praise of Jehovah, the praise of Jehovah. So it's a psalm of celebration, a psalm of rejoicing, psalm of victories that Christ has dealt with the powers of darkness and delivered you and delivered me. It's a psalm of excellency unto God. And it's a praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118. Very full, very packed full. It is one of the Psalms that he said, open to me the gates of righteousness that I will go through them. It's also the Psalm that said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Important Psalm. But we'll look at Psalm 118. Psalm 114. We'll look at Psalm 114. Psalm 114, I'll just read, then I'll make one or two commentary, then we might check another Psalm, Psalm 118, pick one or two things, then we'll pray. Yes, we'll pray. You just, definite prayers. Just you lay hands on your head yourself and ask for entrances. Psalm 114, and when Jesus went, and when Israel went out of Egypt,
when Israel went out of Egypt, remember we said the Old Testament is a type. The Israel here now is talking about and born again people. And when they went out of Egypt, Egypt is a house of bondage, when the person got born again. And when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. The Egyptians, they are people of strange language. Yeah, strange language. Judah was his sanctuary. Where is the sanctuary of God? Is Judah. The sanctuary of God is you. You are he said, you are the temple of God. The church, you as an individual is the temple of God. The church is the temple of God. Judah was his sanctuary. Israel, his dominion. The dominion, remember? Genesis chapter 1. He will make them dominion, have dominion over the earth, have dominion over the sea, have dominion over the fowls of the air. Israel was his sanctuary. Judah was his sanctuary. Israel, his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. The sea, where does the powers of darkness dwell? In symbolic terms, Leviathan dwells in the sea. The sea saw it. And what? And it saw it and fled. Judah was driven back. Judah means death. So he is, in a sense, he's talking about the Red Sea and he's talking about the River Jordan. Any hindrance of the movement of God's people is dealt with. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. Death. Any expression of death. We have given several definitions of death. Sorrow, pain, fear, nakedness. All was driven back. The mountains keep like a worm. The powers of darkness. The nations. The mountains there. Daniel tells us that the mountains were all the kingdoms. All the kingdoms. The mountains skip like a ram. The little hills like lambs. What Asaelet did is talking to the mountains. He's talking to the sea. What Asaelet what Asaelet did, O thou sea, that thou fadest, verse 5. Thou Jordan, that thou we are driven back. Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams. Ye little hills, like lambs. Tremble thou earth at the presence of God. Why are they running away? Why are the situation of these things running away? Because of what? The presence of God. The presence of God. Because God is mighty in the midst of his people. Don't think you are a mere human being. You are not. If you can see what the powers of darkness is seeing concerning you, you will just kneel and worship God. They are afraid. They are terrified. I'm not talking about mighty men of God. I'm talking about any person justified. You are justified. You are saved. They see the blood of Jesus. They see the victories of Calvary. He said he's 12 principalities and power on the cross. He said the way he dealt with Egypt. He said, Israel went out of Egypt. It just like a mere phrase, but it was a mighty demonstration of power. Israel went out of Egypt. God desecrated Egypt. The justified experience is yours. There's provision available for you and me. The devil cannot stop it. He said, they tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. He said, why are you running away, all mountains? What is chasing you, all death, dying? What is chasing you, Jordan? Why are you driven back? These mountains of opposition, these hills, this earth. He said, they tremble down, verse 7, they tremble down earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock unto a standing water, the flint into a fountain of water. He judged those circumstances and he made provision for you. He judged those hindrances, those obstacles, and made a provision for you. All the resources of heaven is available for the church. All that we need, all resources, because Christ died. We must know the justified experience and we must walk in the light of it. There'll be crises, there'll be shakings, there'll be turbulence everywhere, but there is a river that made glad the city of God. There's a river, there's a provision in the covenant.
I'll read from verse 8.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
One.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Then he now gave us, he said, all nations encompass me about. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. There's nations encompassing about. Don't wait. He said, in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. The name of the Lord is the name of Jesus Christ. He said, before that name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. Every, all shall bow. He said, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You have the power, brother, sister. You have the strength. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Don't let them harass you. Don't let them hinder your work. There's the resources of heaven that is available. In the name of the Lord, destroy them. All nations encompass me about. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Verse 11, they encompass me about. Yea, they encompass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They encompass me about like bees, like flies, like Beelzebub, like demons. They are quenched as a fire of tongues. They are like fire of tongues. Said they are quenched. The fury of the devil, the fiery darts of the devil. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. The name of the Lord is the name of Jesus Christ. It's mightier than anything. Available for you in the river that flows into the garden. In the name of the Lord, destroy them. Don't wait. You have the words in your mouth. It's in the same a psalm that was saying, he said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Same, 113 to 118. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And insist, stay on it, because God has given you dominion. It is available. It's available. It is available on the flow of provision. There's a provision that is made available for you and me, for the justified one. It's available. There's a stream. Say, the streams make glad the city of God. Tap onto those provisions. This condition cannot harass me any longer. This thing cannot plague me any longer. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. God is not saying, Brother James, Brother John, there's a provision where the church gather with you to help you in the matter. But there's a provision God has given you. He has given you the dominion. There's dominion for you. There's authority that he has given you. All the provision that is available, he has given to you. There's a river that flows into the garden. And you are a well-watered garden. He said your soul is a well-watered garden. There's a provision. Well-watered, not dry, not patchy, but it's filled with all the provision available for fruitfulness. He said, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy. Don't let them live. Don't let them procreate. Don't let them increase. Destroy them. Because God has done it. You are just enforcing that which he has done. He said, Christ destroy him that have power over death, which is the devil. He destroyed them. Satan has been destroyed. God wants you to enforce the victory. To completely bruise the head of the serpent. To demolish it. To make it nothing. That's it. To make it nothing. Of no effect in your life, in the household of faith. Then the church will use it and judge the devil in the earth. And the final place, his destination is the lake of fire. He said that is the second death. So the stages of the destruction of the powers of darkness have been put in place. Say, God, I will turn to this resource. There's resources in the church. There's resources in your life. There's provision God has made available. There's a river of the water of life that flows, that going to flow. It's a day unto day, utter speech. Night unto night, sheweth knowledge. God is not quiet. He's speaking. Keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night sheweth knowledge. That's in Psalm chapter 19, 1 and 2. So let's start praying. So just right now, simple instruction, just lay hand upon your head. Say, God, let me know this river. The provision made for me on the cross of Calvary, that Christ died and he has made all that I need to enter into perfection. He has perfected those that are sanctified. He has perfected forever. Father, Lord, open to me these treasures. Let me know it. Let all blindness of my eyes be taken away. Let all deafness be removed. Let it be unstopped. Let me be able to hear the Lord. You have said that if I am in this covenant, I will not hear the stranger any longer. That the voice of a stranger, they will not hear. They will hear the voice of the Lamb saying, this is the way, walk in it. Father, Lord, shut my ears from anything that is spurious. Lay hands upon your head and say, just pray, simple prayer. God, I want this river. I want this river. I want this river. I want to experience it day unto day, night unto night. This provision that you have made for me in the covenant, this provision that you have made for me on the cross, this provision, this life saving waters, this living water that flows from the Lamb, that flow from Jesus Christ's side when he was pierced. Let me know it. Let me know it. Let me know it. Let my garden, myself, my mind, my emotion, my desire, let it know it. Pray for yourself. Let the fullness of life, let it come to you. Christ is that fullness of life. The seven dimensions of the ministration of the Holy Spirit, the streams that make glad the city of God. Let me know it. Let my eyes be open. Let the graces of the prophetic grace be known in my life. Let it be known in my brethren. Let it be known. Let us live in the light of it. Walk in the light of it. Move in the light of it. That at the end of the day, we might be fruitful. We might be fruitful. We might multiply. We might replenish our earth. That we might subdue our earth. That we might not be harassed by the circumstances of our earth. That our life might be a life of dominion. Pray for yourself. It's simple. Say, God, I want this treasure. I want this river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Wherever this water touches, there's life. That my life might be a life of life, living, moving, walking in the counsel of our God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll receive divine touch. We'll receive divine breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When you have finished praying for yourself, pray for the house. Pray for the house. That this house, this Toronto House Fellowship, this garden of God's people, that we might know increasingly in different dimensions of what this river, that God might break, that ministry might break forth in the midst of us. Men, women, being a pillar in the house of God. Another way of putting, they will be their olive trees full of oil, graces, abilities. I'm not talking about one man, two man, three man. I'm talking about the whole house. There's a river flowing into us, capacity in the spirit, graces in the spirit, helps in the spirit, and endowment in the spirit, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, mighty men filled with wisdom, filled with understanding, filled with knowledge, that the river of the water of life might flow continually into this house, that we might be an instrument of gladness. It will make glad the city of God. Filled with life, filled with life. Pray for your brethren. Say, God, empower this house, empower this church, that we might be an instrument in your hand to be fruitful, that the church in Toronto might be an influence to touch the neighborhood, to touch the cities, to touch humanity. To we are men, women, children shall flow out of this house to bless humanity in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worship you. Just bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.